Oi! Oi, what do you think you're doing in my chair? Get out of it, will you?
Sorry.
That was in the psychiatrist's chair. And now...
we present Dial M for Pizza, starring Robert Bathurst, Brenda Bleffin, Mike Grady, Jonathan Kidd, and N. Reitel.
Now then, let's see. Two giraffes, two llamas, two goats, two donkeys.
Ah, what are you up to now, Noah? Building another of your arcs to save mankind from the great flood?
No, I'm opening a hamburger restaurant.
And now it's time to file up the close and close down the file on one half of The Perriers, an everyday story of smug bastards. One of whom is dead. The only question is, which one?
Rich, aren't you going to drink your rose-hip tea? Oh, I keep forgetting. Now, where's my pen? Dear doll, I am dead, love, Rich. There. Oh, thank goodness the post-it notes. Well, I do wish the undertaker would hurry up. Serves me right for ordering the funeral through the Observer. Oh, there's the doorbell. Oh, hello, are you the undertaker?
Yeah, that's right, Mrs. Perrier. Colin from Next for Dead People.
Oh, great.
I can't tell you how excited we are to be arranging your husband's funeral.
Terrific. Come in.
Check. Now, let's just revid the details, shall we?
Check.
Great. Now, your first choice of coffin, or as we call it, personal body organizer.
Well, I reckon I'll go for the brasserie model from your Soho collection.
What, the smoked glass and chrome?
Functional, but stylish, that's right.
The thing is, Dulcie, chrome and glass doesn't burn.
Well, who's going to burn it?
Well, we are.
What?
Well, that's what cremation means.
Oh.
Yeah, it says here you've opted for the cremation deluxe, or as our creative team has styled it, the creme de la creme.
Don't you think it's a terrible waste to burn it?
Of course, if you prefer, you could have your husband interred.
Wouldn't Earth be better?
Yeah, okay. Well, look, let's press eject on that for the time being, shall we? So it's the smoke, glass, and chrome studio flat.
Studio flat?
Oh, sorry, I mean coffin. I used to be an estate agent.
Hooray!
And the former service you've plumped for is the...
The Jonathan Ross.
The Jonathan Ross. Great. Now we can rock and roll.
Crucial.
Mrs. Perrier?
Yeah?
Your husband's not saying much, is he?
No, he's dead.
Dead? But that's terrible.
Yeah, it is a bit, yeah.
I mean, you do realize our delivery time is 3 weeks, eh?
Don't mind waiting, do we, Rich? Rich. No, I keep forgetting. Hi, Greg, Stu.
Hi, doll.
Great party.
Thanks.
Where's Rich?
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting.
Rich's dead?
Yeah.
Hey, chill out.
Terrible business.
Well, life goes on.
No, I mean Rich. He was terrible at business.
Oh, yeah.
But don't worry, all of us at OPI Advertising.
Yeah, that's other people's ideas.
Check, Stuart. Here's an award.
Ah, cheers, Greg.
No, we're all thinking of how much Rich meant to us. The company will take care of everything financially.
Oh, that is good news.
Yeah. We'll be repossessing his car and stopping his pension.
Oh, great. Oh?
Tell me, Dunlap, how did Rich clinch the deal? Close the account? Die?
Oh, it was a bit of bad luck, actually. He went to a warehouse party and someone offered him some acid.
Acid? The hot young drug craze that's sweeping the youth young of the nation, young?
No, hydrochloric. He wasn't very popular.
Oh, right. So where's the funeral?
But this is the funeral.
Oh, right.
Check.
It's just about to start.
Yay!
Jonathan Ross, and welcome to the Richard Perrier funeral. And what a great lineup we've got for you today. Later on, we've got music from Michelle Schacht. Vivian Westwood will be showing us her new collection of black armbands, and then we'll bury him. But first, please welcome the girl with the big knockers.
Hello, Dal.
Hello.
It was a lovely service. It's what you would have wanted.
What, being dead?
No, never mind.
Have we met?
No, I'm Ben Rillard. I worked at OPI's, which is Creative Backup.
Oh, what's that?
I used to think up his ideas.
Great.
Now that he's dead, I wonder if you'd fancy getting married.
Oh, who do?
Well, me.
You? Never for?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, then. There's just one condition.
Yeah?
Will you change your name to Richard Perrier?
All right. Any particular reason?
No, we just had a load of new letterheads printed.
Yeah.
Phone.
Well, it's not mine.
Nor mine.
Well, whose is it, then?
Oh, no. Shovel somebody.
Oh, right.
I knew I'd forgotten somebody.
Join us again next week for another episode of The Perriers, in which Dull makes plans for tying the knot, but Rich wants more children.
I say, Withers, old man.
Yes, old man?
Whatever's the matter?
Oh, nothing's the matter.
No. Come on, Withers. I've seen you moping around the mess, looking down in the mouth. What is it?
Well, to tell you the truth, old chap, I'm a bit worried about Bunty.
Bunty?
Yes. Ever since they got that new editor, the stories have gone right off.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of our talk show, Chat Flap, with me, Nick Tosser. Tonight I have with me Trevor Beasley, the laziest man in the world. So tell me, Trevor, what do you think makes you the most lazy man in the world? Trevor? Mr. Beasley, will you answer my questions?
Me? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise you were talking to me.
Oh, you are Trevor Beasley, the laziest man in the world.
No. He couldn't make it, he sent me instead.
Oh. Any particular reason?
Couldn't be bothered to think of one.
Oh, I see. Then who are you?
I'm Dick Beasley, his brother. The second most lazy man in the world.
So, Dick, what makes you the second most lazy man in the world?
Well, I was going to be the laziest man in the world, but it all seemed too much trouble.
Oh.
Can you spray that water in my eyes?
What for?
Saves me blinking.
Okay. So, tell us about some of the lazy things you've done in your life.
God, I wish I was still in bed.
You are still in bed?
Oh, yeah. I was too lazy to notice.
Ah, so you really are very lazy indeed.
If you want.
Then what is it that your brother does that can possibly make him lazier than you?
I don't know. I've never met him.
You've never met your brother? How come?
He's too lazy to exist.
Oh.
Have you got a cigarette?
Yes.
Well, smoke it yourself, will you?
Just a moment. If your brother doesn't exist, surely that makes you, Mr. Beasley, the laziest man in the world.
Oh, can we just skip to the end, please?
All right. Good night. So, Mr. Beasley, would you like a cab home?
No, it's all right. I'm a taxi driver.
Hello? Hey, what's going on?
Congratulations, madam. You're our millionth customer. That means you get this certificate, this digital alarm clock, and anything you choose today is absolutely free.
Thank you. Oh, well, then. Well, what sort of funeral do you do?
Hello, Doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Willis. What seems to be the matter today?
Well, Doctor, I just don't seem to be able to finish my sentences.
Really?
Yes. However hard I try, I don't seem to be able to bring my sentences to a proper conclusion.
I see.
Mm.
And when did you first become aware of this?
About 2 years ago. I stood up and suddenly hit my head on a bookcase.
And ever since then, you haven't been able to finish your sentences?
That's right. Ever since then, I haven't been able to finish my sentences.
Mr. Willis?
Yes?
Bugger off, will you?
Fair enough, Doctor.
Where was I? Oh, yes, I was just reading one of the bits they'd cut out of Nelson's biography.
Mr. Hardy, Admiral Nelson will see you now.
Thank you.
Oh, and before you go in, a word of advice.
Yes?
Whatever you do, don't mention the,
The jacket?
No, the,
Oh, well, what? My jacket?
No, no, his arm. Don't mention his arm.
Oh, I see, yes, yes, thank you.
And, try and keep off the subject of his,
His twitch?
No, no, his...
His wink?
No.
His winkle?
His eye. His missing one eye.
Oh, right.
Come on, in you go.
Ah, Emma, my darling, come in. My wife is away at her cousin's.
It's Mr. Hardy to see you, your lordship.
Oh, oh, splendid. Come in, Mr. Hardy. Come in, Mr. Hardy.
I am in, your lordship.
Ah, well, can you stand on the left-hand side of the room, please? The, furniture's much more agreeable over there.
What? Oh, yes, yes, it's much, much nicer. Mm.
I won't shake hands. It's, a bad luck for admirals. Old Navy tradition.
Yes, yes, yes. I've heard of that. I'm very familiar with that tradition, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Good, good. Now, I'll come straight to the point, Hardy. I'm a hand short.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it first. I noticed it the moment I entered the room.
You knew? You knew I needed a new captain.
Ah, yes. Yes, I surmised.
Very perceptive of you. You could be just the man I'm looking for, Hardy.
Hardy? Over here, sir.
I thought I told you to stay on the left.
Sorry, sir.
Anyway, do you think you're up to commanding my flagship?
Oh, yes, sir. Why, I could do it with one arm tied behind my back. Behind every great man stands a great woman, sir.
What have you heard? What are they saying about Emma?
I was referring to your wife, sir, Lady Nelson.
Ah, yes. Yes, Lady Nelson, of course. Yes. Fine woman, yes. Ah, yes. The reason I knocked over that vase, Hardy, is that I never liked vases, and I thought I saw a French spy hiding behind it.
Yes, yes, sir. So did I, sir. Yes, French spy, definitely, sir. Yes, but he must have escaped through that window, sir.
Ah, yes, yes, that's exactly what he did. Yes, good man.
Well, it pays to keep an eye out. I, sir. I give up.
What?
Well, you've got one arm, you've got one eye, and for all I know, there might be other bits missing that I might accidentally mention. I mean, I can't work under these conditions. I think it's best that we just shake hands. Yes, shake left hands and go our separate way.
Well, Mr. Hardy, that's the way you truly feel, and I must tell you there is no place for you on HMS Victory.
I understand, sir. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Unless...
Yes, sir?
What do you like at kissing?
Okay, next, it's Mr. Roth.
Kent.
So, Mr. Kent, would you like to tell us in your own words why you qualify for this part in Superman the movie?
Well, I can fly. I've got X-ray vision. I've got icy cold super breath. And I can bring my own costume.
Wow. Well, that sounds very promising, Mr. Kent, but there's just one thing.
Yes?
Lois Lane is a woman.
Darling, I'm home.
Hello, dear. Get on okay at the doctor's?
Well, not really. She told me to bugger off.
Well, that's a bit strong.
Well, it was fair enough in a way.
Stephen, what have you done?
I invented a disease.
Oh, no, not again. What was it this time?
I pretended I couldn't finish my sentences.
You what?
I made up this disease that meant I couldn't finish my... I couldn't finish my... Oh, no, I don't seem to be able to... I can't...
Stephen. Stephen.
Yes?
Bugger off.
Okay.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes, chapter 2 of the Uncensored Biography of Nelson.
Frenchies, ahoy!
Admiral Nelson, sir.
Who said that?
Over here, your lordship. Just, to your left. Yes.
Oh, yes, Captain Hardy.
Yes. The French and Spanish fleets are at hand, sir.
Excellent. We should engage them somewhere off Cape Trafalgar in what I trust will prove the decisive naval battle of these wars.
Hurrah!
Indeed. And I mean to engage the men by means of a signal, something to inflame their love of country and sense of responsibility, something like,
England trusts that every man will do his duty.
Ah.
Oh.
Ah. There may be a bit of a problem there, Your Lordship.
A problem? Yes, sir. Not enough flags.
What do you mean, not enough flags? This is supposed to be a flagship. How can have a flagship without flags?
Well, sir, it was the special message we hoisted for the Christmas party. All the flags blew away.
All of them?
Well, it was a long message.
How long?
How did it go, sir?
How did it go? A Merry Christmas to all our burps. Sorry, I'll start again. No, don't write that bit down, Hodges. Merry Christmas to all our readers and a hap, oh, sod this for a game of marbles. I hear there's some flutes on sea deck.
Oh, splendid.
We have got some flags, Your Lordship.
Oh, well, that's a relief. How many?
Three. Three flags.
And which flags, pray, might they be?
An O, a T, and a G, Your Lordship.
Oh, well, isn't that just dandy?
Oh, yes, sir. We can send all sorts of messages. Got and tug.
To, go.
Have you forgotten ogged, Mr. Mate?
Ogged? Surely that's not a word, Your Lordship.
Oh, have you not heard of it, Mr. Mate? It's a special kind of sharpened stick for ramming up idiot sailors' backside.
Well, it could be worse, sir. The O could have been a Z, and then we'd have been on all sorts of trouble.
Hmm. On the other hand, it could have been an I, in which case we could have spelled git, which is what you are, Captain Hardy.
Sorry, sir.
I don't believe it. The most important battle of my career, and the only message of encouragement I can send to my men is, got to go.
But wait a minute. Aren't we all forgetting something?
What?
As well as standing for a letter, each flag has a separate meaning.
Oh, of course it has. So refresh our memories, Mr. Mate. What do O, G, and T stand for?
I am about to leave port.
Yes.
I am about to go into port.
Yes.
And go away, I have yellow fever on board.
Yes. Beginning to wish I'd never mentioned it. We'll just have to go into battle without an encouraging message. And if we lose and the French invade Britain, we'll just say it's because someone got pissed at the Christmas party.
Hold on, sir. Look what I just found in the emergency flag box.
Oh, that looks jolly. Red, white, and blue. We'll hoist it up then.
There, that'll cheer the men up. Our three national colours.
Yes, it's a sort of tricolour, isn't it?
Isn't it a bit like...
Look, the Frenchies have captured the flagship! Fire!
I've been hit. Hardy?
Yes?
Can you come over here a minute?
You wanted to see me, sir?
Do you mind? This is the lady.
Sorry. You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, yes, come in. Take a seat.
Righto. Sorry.
Indeed. Now, you know why I've called you in here, Mr. Makes a Lot of Mistakes?
Yes.
Good.
You want to promote me to head of personnel, triple my wages, and give me my own chat show on Channel 4.
No, that's not what I want to do at all, Mr. Makes a Lot of Mistakes.
Actually, I'm Ella Fitzgerald.
No, you're not.
Happy Christmas.
It's July. And put some clothes on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Look, when you joined this company 3 months ago, this was the biggest ball-bearing manufacturer in Europe.
Yes.
And now it's a florist.
Oh, so it is.
Can you explain to me how this came about?
Don't worry, Sonny. We'll have you out of there in no time.
Look, stop being a fireman and pay attention.
Oh, sorry.
That's better.
Sorry, yes. Enjoy your meal.
Shut up!
Sorry.
Now, on the April the 15th, when asked to write out the audits for the previous month, you knitted a woolly hat for the lift attendant.
Well, I can explain, sir.
Then on May the 7th, when you were supposed to be fetching some HB pencils from the stationery cupboard, you accidentally made a pornographic film featuring the entire catering staff.
Well, nobody's perfect.
And then yesterday morning, instead of answering the telephone, you inadvertently transported the assistant head of accounts into the 17th century.
Well, I didn't think it mattered, sir.
Well, it does. It's just not good enough. I'm going to give... Come in.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Mr. Makes a Lot of Mistakes.
Well, then who's he?
I'm Mr. Makes a Lot of Mistakes.
Oh, my God. You're so stupid, there are two of you.
Congratulations on passing your driving test.
Well, I've had enough. Here's a month's wages.
Oh, delicious.
Now get out.
Tickets, please.
Do you understand? You're fired. You're sacked. You're washed up in this company, do you hear me? I'll see to it that you never work for another ball-bearing manufacturer in Britain, or a florist for that matter. Now take your erroneous alter ego and your mistake-making self out of my office, and indeed off the premises forever. And don't come back, do you understand, Mr. Makes a Lot of Mistakes?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Good.
Now, what was it you wanted to see me about?
Good.
Sit down, Gerald.
No.
Gerald, sit down.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I just can't.
Why not?
Because I just can't.
Gerald, sit down.
No.
That was an extract from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
After the success of Pathfinder, the first feature film to be made in Lapland by Laplanders, now comes a major motion picture filmed in the Arctic in the Inuktitut language. Yes, here it is, the world's first Eskimo science fiction film, Sledge Runner. Starring Harrison Fjord.
I looked up at the stars twinkling over Snowopolis like a million snowflakes. From where I stood, I could see the giant dome of the Space Fleet igloo as white as snow. While at the city perimeter, beyond the sperm oil lamps glowing brighter than shiny snow, the night plunged the surrounding plateau into a darkness as black as very dirty snow indeed. They don't advertise for people like me in the classified column of the papers, mainly because we don't have papers in the North Pole. You try turning the pages wearing sealskin mittens. I figured if I didn't get a job soon, they were going to repossess my kayak, which would make canoeing that little bit more uncomfortable.
Hey, you!
Who, me?
Yeah, Hakudum Hakna Nyutukut Klakatuk.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
I don't think there's any danger of that. Listen, I've been looking for you.
Who are you? What do you want?
Hey, don't you recognize your oldest and closest friend?
Nope.
Hang on, I'll put my hood up.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Paluktanook.
Listen, how could him hack no new to could clacker took? We got a job for you. It's a tough one.
You want me to sign my name?
Nope, tougher than that. But if you come through on this one, Harkudum Hacknin Yutukut Klakertuk, you'll be able to rub noses with your job goodbye.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe retire to somewhere exotic and warm like Baffin Island. So what do you say, Harkudum Hacknin?
I think you just wore my name out. Paluktanook filled me in on my assignment. It seemed that a group of four artificial humanoids had escaped from a research station on an orbiting iceberg and were making their way to Snowopolis, accompanied by a mysterious sea mammal. Although their porpoise was unknown, Paluktanook explained that I was to intercept these artificial humanoids, or snowmen, and to terminate them using extreme harpoon if necessary.
You think you can handle it, Klakatuk?
Depends what's in it for me.
As much halibut as you can eat.
What? Three? The prospect of three whole fish to myself called for a celebration. I dropped in for a nightcap in the Club Tropicana. Oh, it's a bit chilly in here.
Sorry, I'll turn down the heating.
Oh, that's better. This was a waitress I'd never seen before. She was wearing her cagoule cut low, just below the chin. And our noses met across the crowded bar.
What's it to be, stranger?
I'll have a Harvey Whalebanger. No. Make that a slow, comfortable gnu between the sheets.
Do you want it with ice?
No, thanks.
That could be a little difficult.
Never mind. What's your name, Eskimo?
They call me Nell.
Yep. I've heard a lot about you.
You don't want to believe all you hear. Especially verses 56 to 147.
Her eyes were as black as little pieces of coal. She passed me a drink with an arm as slender as a twig sticking out of some snow. I kissed her hard. Her head fell off. By a stroke of luck, I'd killed the first of the snowmen. Before moving on, I decided to wait until sunrise. So it was late March before I finally left. I staggered into a dawn as rosy snow. After breakfasting on my huskies, I put on my sealskin spacesuit, pulled down my plexi ice visor, and set the controls of my space kayak for orbital iceberg 90. I had not gone far when I completely run out of breath. Excuse me, sir. Could you tell me the way to orbital iceberg 90? There was something odd about this guy. A, he was wearing a trilby. B, round his neck was a green tartan scarf. And C, he was surrounded by a bunch of kids patting him into shape. That said snowman to me. I had to get my skates on. Hey, snowman, scumbag! Eat whale oil-powered death! The renegade humanoid crumbled and lay dying in a spreading pool of lukewarm water. Two down, two to go. But by this time, the trail was cold, which was quite warm for these parts. So, with no trouble at all, I tracked down the third of the four snoids. Apparently, he'd gone to England to make a cartoon film about flying through the air or some such puffing crap. And we all know what happened to him.
Hey, Clackatook.
Good to see you, Paluktinook.
Did you get the humanoids?
Yep, it's this cold weather.
I thought you said hemorrhoids. Now, what about my fish?
Here you are. One, two, three.
Yeah, well, that's warmed me up. Now, let's have my fish.
Here.
Thank you. We rubbed noses goodbye.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Your nose has fallen off.
No, it hasn't.
It's long. It's orange. It's a carrot.
All right. I admit it. I am the leader of the snowman.
But if you were a snowman all along, so why did you alert me to the snowman Manus in the first place?
I admit the plot has rather more holes than a fishing lake in Iceland, but it is our first stab at a feature film.
Oh, well, I guess that's fair enough, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to terminate you. Freeze!
But I'm already frozen.
Oh, the hell with it. Look, we can still be friends. Here's your nose back, Paluktinook. Now let's go out clubbing.
Okay. Where are the seals?
Oh, they're over this way.
Yes, don't miss Sledge Runner, based on the novel by Philip K. Dickatook, called Do Eskimos Dream of Electric Blankets? Next week, Walt Disneynook and Ingmar Bergmatook present Snow White and the Seventh Seal.
That was Darlene for Pizza, starring Robert Bathurst, Brenda Bleffin, Mike Grady, Jonathan Kidd, and N. Rytel, with special guest Jonathan Ross. It was written by James Hendry and Ian Brown, and the producer was David Tyler. ¶¶